Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roosh Williams, host of the Noble and Roosh Show. You can follow him on Twitter, at Roosh, R-O-O-S-H, Roosh Williams, at Roosh Williams on Twitter. Roosh, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Well, you must
you act did like you didn't hear the. See, did, act like you didn't even hear any of the mic. Like you're not even gonna. You're not even gonna respond to the still tipping. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine.
I heard it, Lance. Four fours are tipping, and wood grain is being gripped. Don't worry about that.
So tell me that you weren't up all night celebrating that win against Utah.
Oh man, what a game! What a game! Lots to discuss there. I mean. Huge shot from Kevin Porter Jr.
Again, go back all of these wins. It seems like Kevin Porter Jr. is hitting a huge three every time.
Yeah, you know, he's. I think this is his like third one at this point. Obviously, he had the game winner against the Wizards. He's got this one. I think there's another one peppered in where he hit like a big one that sealed the game. And then, hey, Garrison Matthews, man, I can't say enough about this kid, but it seems like every time the Rockets are having a big game, he's going off in 3-2. And he had a team high 23 points. He was shooting them from the parking lot and just drilling them. So, awesome team win. You know, kind of like across the board, they got contributions. Jayshon Tate was just doing what Jayshon Tate tends to do. We already talked about Garrison Matthews, even Christian Wood. Not the best game offensively, but he was rebounding the ball and hit that crazy buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter. If you saw that, Jalen Green struggled, so that was kind of disappointing. But you know, it's to be expected. And then Armani Brooks even found his stroke. You know, shout out to the University of Houston. He's been struggling this season, but he came in and hit three big threes in that third quarter that kind of helped them get past the Kings when the Jazz were kind of pressing to try to pull away.
You know, we saw Jalen Green took a step in the right direction when he came back off of his, you know, his long departure when he was injured. Kevin Porter Jr., since coming back, but more importantly, since the issue with John Lucas, has been a little bit different player. He has been a little more consistent. We saw him take care of the ball. The ball seemed to matter more to him. Fewer turnovers yesterday. It feels like there. You know, I wonder if there's any growth happening there with him from a personality and personal maturity standpoint.
You know what's funny, man, is he deleted his Twitter account. You know, I don't know if he like completely deleted it, but he deactivated his Twitter account, I think, a couple weeks ago. And ever since then, he's just been playing the best basketball of the season. So I really wonder if there is some like correlation there. You know, like I think sometimes we kind of underestimate how, I mean, he's 21 years old, you know, so I think we underestimate how these kids really hop on the internet and kind of listen to the noise and how that might affect them. And so, you know, he's responded so well since that incident that I think he really deserves credit. And, that's my dog crying in the back, zip it. But he deserves a ton of credit. And, you know, I think that it kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that he's not on the internet anymore and he's just playing the best basketball of the season. So I think he deserves a ton of credit for that.
What are you going to get for Eric Gordon? And he's got to get moved, right? He's got to be. Somebody's going to want him.
I mean, look, at this point, dude, I can't imagine his value being any higher than it is right now. He's hitting, you know, 46% of his threes. The only thing is, man, you got to move him because you don't want Eric Gordon to get hurt. You know, I love Eric Gordon. I think he's been one of the best Rockets of like, the modern era. But like I said, highest value he's had, I think you've got to get a first-round pick back for him. You know, if you look back at some of the trades in the past, like, for example, 2016-17, the Rockets gave up a first-round pick for Lou Williams, you know. So I can't imagine that Eric Gordon would go for anything less than a first-round pick and some kind of salary filler. I think Cleveland's going to be a player for Eric Gordon. They might try to, you know, give Ricky Rubio and a first-round pick. Rubio's out for the season. The Rockets would just take the salary and then he expires and he'd be done. The Lakers would probably be interested, but I'm not sure if the Rockets would be interested in what the Lakers have to offer. If you're a contender and you're looking for a veteran shooter that can also defend and hit big shots for you and it has been proven in the playoffs, I just don't see someone better on the market right now than Eric Gordon. So I think you've got to move him, unfortunately, as much as I love him. And then I think the Rockets might be sellers at this deadline. You know, they've got some valuable vets. You know, Daniel Tice. Some teams could use Daniel Tice. There might be some teams out there that could use David Nwaba and or DJ Augustine. And then obviously we've spoken before about, you know, Christian Wood. And Miles Turner just got hurt, you know. So Miles Turner was probably the most valuable center on the market. But he's hurt, and he's expected to be out past the trade deadline, which is huge. So now Christian Wood, like, automatically becomes the most valuable center for teams that are looking for that. So I think the Rockets might be sellers.
What about
Tice? Tice is probably going to be traded before him.
Tice is one of those guys where you could definitely see that because of just the position he plays and how he plays. But what's interesting for me is that Gordon would be a great fit for the issues they have with the Nets, but you have so many of their picks already make sense. The Lakers, but what about the Suns? What about the Suns looking for another veteran who Chris Paul knows, who's got the ability to, you know, to work off the bounce if he needs to, a veteran who can put some effort into it defensively? What about the Suns as one of those teams that maybe not a lot of people are talking about?
So I would personally love him on the Suns. Obviously, he would reunite with Chris Paul, and that would be fun, and he would fit perfectly, you know, and help them out in an area of need. But I think it might be difficult because Phoenix is going to have to find salary to match. They would probably throw in Dario Saric. He's also out for the season, just like a body to kind of fill salary that I think eventually would expire, and the Rockets would just kind of get him off the books. But I don't know who else they would be able to pair with Saric. The thinking is maybe Jalen Smith, who's, I think, in the last year of his deal. But there's something – I'm not the best cap guy, but there's something with his contract that the Suns declined to extend him, right? So I think whoever has his rights can only offer him a maximum of $4.7 million, which it was what I think he's getting paid this season. So the thing is, if you trade for Jalen Smith and you have his rights, I think the amount that you can offer him is capped, and therefore some other teams could swoop in free agency and offer him more money and basically take him away from you. I think he would have to be a part of the package for the Rockets to be interested, I think. And they could also get first-round picks, but, you know, it kind of depends at that point what the protections on those picks are, because Phoenix is obviously good, right? So you want, like, a more valuable pick. But it's possible. Phoenix is a possibility. I just think it gets a little difficult to match that salary. Lakers, like John, I think I heard John mention the Lakers. Lakers could also work. You'd probably be looking something at, like, you know, Kendrick Nunn and Talen Horton Tucker plus maybe like a 2028 first-round pick, something like that. And, hey, don't sleep on the idea. I've heard of, heard that the possibility of Russell Westbrook being traded for John Wall is not zero. I'll just say it's not zero. So that's also a possibility. Obviously, the Lakers.
Russell Westbrook back? Oh, my gosh. I'd rather have John Wall sitting than Russell Westbrook back.
Well, it would be a scenario where the Lakers give up a first-round pick, and then the Rockets just buy Westbrook out and let him go on his way. Basically a way of just trying to extract some type of value from John Wall, you know, get an extra first-round pick, which would be funny, man, because, you know, it would basically be like they traded Westbrook for Wall in a first-round pick, and then they trade Wall for another first-round pick. So if you remember, when they traded CP3 for Westbrook, they gave up two first-round picks, so they basically get those back. It'd be kind of funny.
That would be interesting. And you know what, Eric? Listen, Jalen Green, what did he play? 16 minutes, whatever he played last night. I mean, it's just 23 minutes. And Alperen Şengün just 16 minutes. They got to be on the floor, don't they? I mean, I understand you want to get it's important to get wins, but what's more important is getting these guys the time they need to mature.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm okay with last night Jalen Green not playing because I think he was minus 14 on the floor, which was tied for a team worst with Jayshon Tate. And the Rockets made their comeback with Jalen Green sitting. So last night, I get it. But there's been too many times this season where the Rockets are losing or the game just out of hand, and Jalen Green will get like 27 minutes, and the Rockets need to find out, and to find out what his max potential is and the best way to use him. Because right now he's just kind of being used out of the corner as like this fourth option that randomly gets the ball. No rhythm, no like consistency with his reps. And then Şengün's got to get more time too, because especially if the Rockets are sellers at this deadline, if they lose Tice or if they lose Christian Wood, Şengün is going to automatically slot in to get more minutes, you would think. And so I'd like to see more of them. You know, I'm trying to stay patient because they're young and we should have some time to go. But at the same time, it's like, come on, let's get these kids going. Let's get them to grow up overnight, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know you've been pounding the floor for Şengün getting more for a while now. And I just love watching that guy play.
Tell you who else is
Josh Christopher. I mean, as athletic as he is, I thought he was going to be in the G League all year, and dude can play.
Man, I will echo that sentiment. I honestly thought he'd be in the G League for most of the year, if not the whole year, and be like a, you know, 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th man. But that kid is NBA ready. I mean, physical, he's ready. His body is immediately ready to transfer to the NBA, more so than Jalen Green's at this point in their careers. He's aggressive. He knows how to get to the bucket. He's just a hooper, man. He knows how to get to the bucket and score. He's confident. And he's already got like a little bag of tricks when he gets to the basket. He's able to kind of hit some fadeaways. He's able to finish with the left. We saw him do it over Gobert last night. I'm really impressed with Josh Christopher. And if he kind of continues to pan out as what he is looking like, then I think that's going to be one heck of a pick for the Rockets at 24, you know?
That's Roosh Williams right here. At Roosh Williams on Twitter, the Noble and Roosh show as well. You can hear his thoughts on Rockets basketball. Roosh, as always, that was fun last night. Good win for the organization and their quest for 28.
That's what it is. The hashtag quest for 28 is the Rockets look to go over the preseason win total of 27.5.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always fun, and it's always fun to beat the Utah Jazz. So.